Today great. Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
Yeah, it's a great day for rock infused with blues and, yeah, even a little news. On the Amy Beth Erkley Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? We're taking it all on. Lots of music today, as you'll meet Bobby Dugan from the up-and-coming rock quartet The Vicks. We'll talk inspiration, aspirations, and sample the band's infectious sound. Some other great music, including your requests, and my walks in the creative woods, your inspiration to action, Sean's success stories, and yes, of course, I know, we're taking it on, the cultural cacophony in measured doses. Love to get you in the mix here. You're listening live. It is Tuesday, May 14th, 2 p.m. out west, 4 o'clock central, 5 o'clock here in the east. Our number in motion, 347-857-4505. Twitter, as you know, is a 24/7 deal, so jump in when it works for you live or on podcast at AB Writes. And if you're joining us for the live broadcast, more and more folks are doing each time. I love it. Along with the aforementioned, you have the Facebook page and the PotNet chat box. So hop aboard, whatever way works for you. It's all being helmed by the talented, tenacious Octopi from TCS, Trudy and Aurora in the booth and Mellon headquarters. Show is brought to you in part today by Old Navy, spring into styles and savings at Old Navy, by Panera, the way food should be, now delivered, and our pals at PotNet. Arts, culture, conversation, on air, online, they're up and running 24/7, featuring select editions of the Amy Beth Arkwe Show and, yeah, those robust roundtables. So what do you say you grab yourself a cup of joe and meet me at the corner of 4th and Clay? Let's open up things with The Vicks on the Amy Beth Arkwe Show. I think you'll like it.
Very well, ladies. And thank you, madam. Thank you very much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Here they are. Fresh roasted peanuts, peanut popcorn, candy apples, and
I only hope your spirit can
trip to Forth and Clay. And the Andrew Berkeley Show with the Vix. And we're happy to have Bobby Dugan, the lead vocalist and guitar player for the band. Hey, Bobby, thanks for joining us. Welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you here. Listen, you guys have a really cool sound. Let's talk a little bit about this journey you've been on. You guys met in college in the Pittsburgh area, correct? And you've been taking that region by storm and kind of branching out. Let's talk a little bit about the musical journey and how things have changed over the years. I mean, the music industry has certainly had dramatic shifts over the last decade, and more changes abound how people release music. You have more freedom to create your own work and get it into the world, but there are also some issues with getting the attention you deserve and recognition and airplay and generating interest and all of that. So let's talk a little bit about your journey and how you got together and what's behind it all.
Yeah. So we formed back at a school. We all met studying engineering and performance. And then we recorded an EP there, a four-track EP, and then started to try and get into the Pittsburgh scene. And then the next year we did an album down there. We had a bunch of we were lucky to have the resources available and upperclassmen to help us and stuff. But so we kind of took advantage of our time at school and played. They had open mics. We tried to play everyone we could, tried to do as much and write as much and record as much as we could as well. And then I graduated about a year and a half ago, and then I moved straight to Pittsburgh. I'm initially from Erie, and then I started interning at a studio. We recorded there, really tried to up our game sonically and songwriting wise, and that's kind of where we're at right now. You know, just keep trying to push it and create more, and then hopefully build our fan base here in the Pittsburgh area and keep expanding outwards.
What is the scene like in Pittsburgh? Is there a big singer-songwriter music scene there? Or?
It's interesting. You know, I come from Erie, you know, where there's not a whole lot of a music scene. So I'd never really been exposed to the scene. And then once I came to Pittsburgh, I had no idea, you know, what a city could really have musically. You know, everything from country to hip-hop, the indie art, like our kind of genres, it's pretty big, and there's a lot of really good bands, but I think ours seems to be one of the smaller sort of genres. But, I mean, there's music everywhere. You know, I can usually find a local show once or twice a week to go to.
That's great. That's a great way to do it now because, you know, people get their music out. As you said, you're making your way in a city where you live, which has something of a vibrant music scene, but you're also allowed to branch out with the Internet now. You can get your work out into the world. Ostensibly, of course, the caveats are who's going to listen to it and who's going to grab it, and that's what you're trying to do is build up a following through actually performing live in venues, which I think is almost a lost art, but I think people crave that because we're so used to being disconnected and living in our boxes and our computers now, you know, and this is where you get out and you're actually there. But how do you balance it by trying to say, well, I also want to get an online presence and maybe more of a national exposure so that I can go beyond Pittsburgh and go to New York, go to Hollywood, go to forever, you know?
Yeah. We really do. We try and take as much advantage of social media as we can. I found there are ways I feel to reach out and try and connect with, you know, new fans and stuff. But I feel that it's going to be better for us to really, you know, go out there, meet them face to face, you know, really engage them and then kind of reach out on social media. I think there's it's easier to build a more a strong relationship with your fans that way. And I mean, we are all about, you know, trying to get as many fans as possible. But the Internet is a wonderful thing. But I also think that it is important for us to keep kind of pushing out forward or move out and go to different cities and kind of use the social media as more of a way to keep in touch and maintain relationships instead of kind of building them off social media.
Gotcha, that sounds good. And you like performing live, I'm gathering.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your inspirations, because your sound is so cool. It's sort of like there's rock and blues in there. You have like an old school feel, but obviously you have your own sound. What were your influences, and how do your influences juxtapose with the other guys in the group?
Yeah, so I've always been a really big Beatles fan. right around the time I started going to school, I was kind of dipping into the blues a little more. And then, you know, through studying and through my major and stuff, I was exposed to a lot of different music that caught my interest. But, you know, the other guys in the group, also a massive Beatles fan. I met our guitarist, Ben, actually, because he was playing we had a guitar class together, and he played a blues lick. And I was like, oh, man, is that Gary Clark Jr.? And he's like, yeah. So we kind of initially hit it off and just started right there, you know, that we wanted to have, not necessarily be like a blues band, but definitely carry over some of those, you know, overtones and some of the vibes associated with that, and kind of make it our own, you know, rock and roll and modern, and still, you know, be ourselves.
Cool, indeed. So talk about your process in terms of writing songs. You write most of your own material, right? Do you write by yourself, or are you collaborating with the other guys in the group? How does that work?
Yeah, typically, it kind of varies from song to song. Typically, in the past, I've, you know, come to the group with a few songs, and depending whether or not they liked them, we'll move forward with them. Usually I'll just come up with chords and lyrics or something, and then if we decide, you know, this could be a tune for the Vicks, then we'll sort of move forward and start, you know, building guitar tracks and kind of bringing all the instruments in. And then, you know, other times it could be something as simple as Ben in our group, you know, maybe throws out a lick, and then out of nowhere that'll inspire me to write a song later that night, and then we'll, you know, jam it out the next day or something. So it varies, but yeah, typically we like to start with the lyrics and the chords and just kind of build out from there.
So you kind of collaborate together, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you have a set schedule? People always ask this question because a lot of people who listen to our show are artists or aspiring artists, and people are always curious about other people's patterns and disciplines. I mean, do you have a set discipline in your life, like I have to write X number of hours per day, or I wait till the inspiration hits me? How does that work for you? What is your
So I was always just really into writing music, you know, on my spare time. And then I did a summer down in Nashville as an internship at a recording studio, and that's where I really, like, I sat down and I said, okay, every night I'm gonna write a song. And I don't necessarily follow that at all anymore, but I think that was really important for me at that time because, I mean, it is hard sometimes without that inspiration, but I think kind of taking that time, you know, that little period of my life to really force myself to write kind of made it so now if I am hit with any sort of inspiration or I'm feeling like, oh, there's a song coming up here, I can kind of skip the whole analyzing and, like, thinking too much about the chords and, you know, the way it should flow because I've already done it a lot. But, I don't know. I don't necessarily sit down and tell myself that every night, though, now. But I think it's important to kind of put yourself through that a little bit, you know, at some point.
Yeah, because once you have it, you kind of internalize it. I think that's the key to creativity. I always say, mm-hmm. you know, your rules are there to be broken, but you have to learn them first a little bit, and you have to sort of get that discipline, and then you can play with it and rely on the fact that you're going to adhere to that at some point. You know, I know from my own experience as a writer, if I go too many times, you know, it's like people say you have to write every day, and some days I don't, let's face it. But if there are too many days go by that I'm not, I'm like, uh-oh, I better get back into some kind of a groove. So that's kind of, you know yourself and you know your own rhythm to be able to get yourself back in check. What's the deal with the Vicks? What's the origin of the name of the band? I'm sure people ask that all the time, but I'm curious.
So we had a couple ideas for names. They all kind of seemed to be taken. So we weren't really 100% sure what we wanted to do. And then we thought maybe we would be the fix that was already taken. But one day we were driving in a boat, actually, and one of our members had a Vic Firth hat on that his grandfather had given him. And then out of nowhere, the hat flew off in the boat, and then we had to turn around and go get the hat, and we're like, oh, thank God, you know, we didn't lose that hat. And then he put it back on, and then it flew out again, and then it sunk this time. So we decided that we wanted to just be called, you know, the Vix, to kind of honor that and Vic Firth and stuff.
That's so funny. That's cool. That's a cool story. You know, you never know how people come up. Like REM, they found it in the dictionary or something. I mean, there's all kinds of stories about how people come up with their names. But
yeah.
Yeah, and it's also cool if you're in a rock band, I guess, some of the things, some of the lore, like around the name and just also around lyrics, and people always, because things are sometimes not that clear, people make up backstories, whether you really have the backstories or something just comes to you. I mean, I know as a fiction writer and a playwright, I know sometimes people bring things into it, to my work, and I'm not sure where it's coming from, but it's kind of interesting because then you're saying, oh, maybe it is there. You know, people can see things. I mean, you ever have that experience where people read things into your songs that you didn't know were there or you really didn't plan on being there?
Yeah. Do you mean sort of like after, you know, kind of like a hindsight, like after it's written, kind of like that interpretation sort of thing? Yeah, that, I mean, it's weird to think of it, you know, because I feel like almost like it's, sometimes I feel like it's not, it's like the song wasn't written that way, but it's cool because like there's a song now that I've been working on and the lyrics are pretty much all ironed out, but the meaning kind of keeps changing. And I think it's sort of something that I'm wrestling with, but I think it will find its own sort of meaning in the way that everything relates together, you know, and I don't necessarily want to change the lyrics for it, but it's kind of like I have to think kind of beyond my initial ideas and my initial thoughts of what the song was about and to kind of really look a little deeper into it, which it's weird though, because, you know, I wrote them.
Yeah. Well, and also people, once you write something, you put it into the world, it becomes not quite yours anymore. I mean, it belongs to everybody who interprets it, whatever, however, which way they choose to do it. And that's kind of, it's fascinating. It's daunting, I guess, on scale because people can misconstrue things. You know, you can have like Charles Manson misconstruing the Beatles Helter Skelter or something. I mean, you can have things that are attached to that meaning to it. That's kind of scary and daunting. But if you think too much about that, I've gone down that road occasionally where I'm thinking, well, what if you inspire somebody in a bad way? And then you won't write anything. So don't do that.
Yeah, I hope something like that would happen.
Yeah, exactly.
That always fascinates me, you know, with the fluidity of songs and how they can really vary person to person. I think that's something that we try and keep as well in our music, not to get too detailed with it, not to paint too much of a specific picture, you know.
So people have a right to sort of fill it in a little bit. It's kind of that's what I'm saying, the mystique of it, which is very cool. The lyrics, you're not really sure how it's going to go. What's your projection? You guys are young. You've been doing this only for a couple of years. You had, as you said, an EP. You had a self-titled album. You're rolling out singles now. I mean, is this strategic to say, well, I'm just going to roll out a couple of singles, and then we're going to put together an album? That's another album down the line. Are you looking for input from, I don't know, are there really music industry gatekeepers anymore? Are you looking for a big label? Are there big labels anymore that would come out and say, we want to sign you? I mean, what's the hope here for distributing it the way you're doing it now?
Yeah, I think our plan as of now is we've put out the music that we initially wrote, and we've been doing well in Pittsburgh. I think with these singles, they're kind of a little bit more of like, oh, hey, we're growing and we're getting better, but we also kind of, we're planning a tour here soon, one of our first tours, and we kind of just figured, you know, it'd be good to have a few tunes, you know, fresh out there, because, you know, the songs that we've put now, we've matured musically as players and as writers, so we felt that, you know, moving forward, if we're really going to try and show our improvement and show what we actually are now, we might as well, you know, put out a few songs, and then, yeah, we're kind of working on the way back on some new tunes for an album down the line.
So it's a balancing act, because when you're doing something like you folks are doing, it's both the writing and the recording of the music, but it's also the performing and planning the tour. So it's a lot of things going on at once that you have to sort of, some things get backburnered. So you're saying the recording might get backburnered because we're planning a tour, and that makes sense. Say again.
Oh yeah, no. 100% what you're saying. We're kind of taking advantage of our time now during this planning process to really write. We'll probably do a bit more of that on tour. But yeah, we're gonna be doing a bunch of weekend shots in June, July, and August, and then we'll head out for a bit more of a longer tour in October, early October.
Where are you headed?
I'd say about the kind of East Coast to the Midwest. We're still kind of ironing out all the specific shows and dates,
But, you know, we'll be hitting up Cleveland, Texas, Tennessee. Yeah, kind of all over the place.
Yeah, that's cool. So you're getting out there, as you said, hitting the road and trying to make your fans face-to-face, which I think is the best way to do it as a band. What, I mean, do you guys, you know, everything is so grassroots now. People, until they become really huge superstars, are handling things so much, you know, themselves. And I guess it's always been that
way.
Are you like, you divide up the duties amongst you? Is there somebody who does books, just the bookings, or how does that work?
A lot of it I'm kind of handling right now, but, you know, everyone has their own responsibilities in the group, and they're all equally as valuable. You know, they may not necessarily be linked with our booking or our, and that sort of stuff, but, yeah, we all have kind of little understood jobs that help us keep pressing forward, and you know, those jobs continue to expand as our plans do and our ambitions. So, yeah, we're
how
pretty,
do you
pretty tight-knit
travel?
Team.
Do you have a bus, or how does it go? How are you doing?
Travel plans? We have a van. It was actually a classroom that. It was a van converted into a classroom. It's kind of more like an RV, but it is a van. And we got that as a gift from Ben's grandparents. So we're getting that ready to go, and then we'll be hopefully hitting the road.
Sounds great. Now, you've been doing this. You've been together for a few years. Do you have any? Has there been any moments of consternation amongst the four of you? Do you have any kind of infighting that ever happens? And how do you resolve it when it does, or if it does?
It doesn't seem to happen too often. We've had to juggle a few members here and there, but it's more so of just a commitment sort of thing. You know, nothing really no problems that are too crazy or anything have arrived. Mostly it's just people, you know, us trying to get people that are really committed and want to be here for the long haul, you know.
So you've had a little turnover already? Is that you're saying? You've already booted out like Pete Best is gone? You booted out one drummer or something like that?
Well, we've gone through a few bassists and, yeah.
Intriguing.
But,
all right.
There's no hard feelings or any bad blood. They're all good friends, and I see them all routinely. But, yeah.
Keeping it together. You got the PR thing going, Bobby. I'm not going to push you too much. I'm just curious because when you're working with creative talents, sometimes people do have disagreements, and it's a question of how to work together. And hopefully, you know, you'll be able to gel for the long haul, which sounds like that's what you'd like to do. You see this as something that you'd like to pursue for, you know, not just for a summer or two, but you want to make this your career, it sounds like, right?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I hope you do. What's the best way for folks to connect with you? You have a website that people can go to where you can find out more about your music, et cetera?
I'd point them towards our Instagram and our Facebook.
Okay.
Our,
and it's under the Vix?
The Vix Band, I believe, and I believe Instagram is the Vix Official. I'm going to check real quick just to be 100% sure. I don't want to give up.
You're under the Vix Band on Twitter, but I noticed you haven't tweeted in about 2 years, so I guess you don't use Twitter that much.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend anyone who really wants to keep updated on us. I mean, you can follow our Twitter. I think Ben's talking about getting into that a little more. We'll see. But, it's the Vix Official on Instagram and the Vix Band, I believe, on Facebook. And we post there usually every other day, and we're always talking about keeping everyone posted on our shows and what's coming up next for us.
I think I did check the Facebook page was more active than the Twitter feed is what I happen to notice, but that's cool. All right, we'll link all that when the podcast becomes available, and I wish you the best. Very cool music indeed. We're going to wrap things up with the other single that you just released called Proud. Do you have a backstory to this one?
This one's actually kind of a little more vague and a little more not as specific as the other one. Just kind of,
We'll let people infer what they wish. Give a listen to
Folk
totally. Crowd. It's the Vix. Bobby Dugan, hey, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you and your enthusiasm. I wish you the best on the road and beyond. Keep us posted and come back and see us again, won't you?
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Bobby Dugan from the Vix. Here's their latest single called Proud on the Amy Blue.
guys are gone, and I'm just hoping you'd have a change of thought after the night. You want more from the world than what you've noticed. Perhaps you've had a different point of view. You scream, but it's not loud. Won't blame yourself, 'cause you're too proud. You're too proud. You're too proud.
Show. Thanks again to Bobby Dugan, lead singer, guitarist for the band. Enthusiasm doesn't begin to cover it. He needs it, as we all do, and he seems to have it in spades. Thanks, Bobby, for stopping by. Follow them on Facebook and Instagram. We'll post the links for you with the podcast when it becomes available. Don't forget, all the Amy Beth Arquie shows are archived as such. So what's on your mind? Reach out via Twitter, AB Rice. Phone line open, 347-857-4505. Should you find yourself joining us live on Tuesday, May 14th, Facebook page, PopNet chat box, apply to those rules as well. We delve heavily into music today. I'm just in a mood. We got to just enjoy and embrace the curative powers of music. And one of the artists we discovered a couple of years ago now, 3 or 4 years ago, I think, on this show, Caroline Rose, has certainly taken the indie circuit by storm. Here's one from her latest album, The Loner. It's soul number 5, Caroline Rose on the Amy Beth Arquie Show.
Gucci, gooey, oozy, icky, oozy style. I do a hair flip, I shut my stuff. You wish
about rock and blues meeting somewhere in the middle. Great. Bonnie Raitt. I'm the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Smiling and nod to Darcy in the PopNet chat box. Irwin on Twitter, thank you so much for your kind words, folks. Mary Heist, too. They're On to Me. And Caroline Rose, soul number 5 from the album Loner, a gal who we first met on this show, maybe our inaugural year, like 5 years ago. Wow. She was impressive then, even more impressive now with so many albums and a name for herself on the indie circuit. Great YouTube videos, too. She's very clever and a good marketer, doing it all on her own in many ways, as so many of these young artists have to do now. You got to take that creative bull by the horns, so to speak. So good for her. Good music indeed. Hey, what's on your mind? Twitter is AB Wright. Phone line 347-857-4505 for those stumbling in live on the May. It feels like February. It's chilly around here. The May 14th edition of the show. Facebook page, PopNet chat box open as well as, you know, we'll take on the cultural company measure doses. I want to stick with the music. But one thing I saw that disheartened me a bit today was an article about a radio station in Connecticut, and I've been working in and out of Connecticut radio for years. WDRC, which is a powerhouse out of Hartford, has just transformed itself, rebranding itself Trump 103.3. It's going to be a talk station of conservatives pushing, and their slogan is Trump and the Truth, which seems to be anathema, if you know what I'm saying. So there's been some brouhaha about that on a local level and beyond, and if it can happen in Blue Connecticut, oh my goodness, what's going on? Not that we didn't already have some conservative talk. I mean, of course, Rush Limbaugh, et cetera, but the lineup will be infused with people like Bill O'Reilly and Dana Bash and some other local people that are of that ilk. And their idea is they want to get the current governor, Ned Lamont, to be ousted. This is one of their goals. It's pretty shocking to see this kind of stuff being bandied about, especially the idea of Trump and the Truth in the same sentence seems to be anathema, as the guy lies and lies and lies. On Twitter, Andy says, Donald Trump is a pathological liar. He lies nonstop, over 10,000 lies since he took office, 20-plus per day now. He simply cannot tell the truth. It's mind-numbing that anyone puts any credence in anything that that liar says ever. Indeed, but people do, and that's pretty scary. But I will say there was a local article in a local patch in Connecticut, and there were some responses to this new station, and some people were not that impressed by it. They said the goal is to help conservatives in Connecticut unite and make it a red state. And one person, Gerald from Hartford, says, "Nah, not exactly." After capping the deductibility of the property tax. Not popular. And Joe says WDRC listens to itself. I guess the station is on its wane because it was a big powerhouse of one person. A guy from Stratford, or a person from Stratford, I said M. Holton, says, a talk show about a person who went bankrupt at least 4 times, a man by the name of David Dennison, who paid at least 2 porn stars to keep silent about his sexual encounters while he was married. Very good Christian and, stellar example. I don't think so. Finally, a voice for conservatives in the state. Yeah, I don't think so. So a lot of folks are not for it. But some people are. Jay says, awesome. This will be a bright spot in this Democratic-run state. So everybody has a shot at it, I guess. But Beverly from Middlefield, Connecticut, says, I'm afraid if you're looking for the truth, it won't happen with Trump or anyone affiliated with him. For all this man and his cohorts know about is to spin our falsehoods, untruths, or otherwise known as lies. Presently, Fact Checker has tallied over 10,000 of these falsehoods, a.k.a. lies from Trump and his lot. So I'm with you, Beverly. But it is kind of scary to think it's so close. Radio is in the hands of all kinds of people. Watch out. While you're listening.
I was chilling in the shine of the light, and I dialed to an innocent my radio advised. With every one of those late night stations playing songs, bringing tears to my eyes. I was seriously thinking about hiding the receiver when the switch broke, cause it's old. They're saying things that I can hardly believe. They really think we're getting out of control. Radio, everybody else is overwhelmed by indifference and the promise of an early bed. You either shut up or get cut out. They don't want to hear about it. Sony inches on the reel to reel. And the radio is in the hands of such a lot of fools trying to anesthetize the way that you feel. Radio is the sound salvation. Radio is cleaning up the nation. Say you better listen to the voice of reason. That they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason. So you had better do what you were told.
It must be true.
Attention, you are conducting a broadcast in direct violation of FCC Rule 27. Pull over.
I'm not going down without a fight! I'm the voice of the little man!
Joining us here on this Tuesday, May 14th edition. If you're listening live, have at us on the phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, Potnet chat box, or Twitter, which of course is 24/7 at AB Ryan. So we're doing a mostly music thing because the curative powers makes you feel better just to relax, listen to music. You're all keyed up when we are delving into Trump and all the nonsense, but it's out there, and I urge people to read the Mueller report, especially the first section in which he got away with it, so to speak, in terms of not having any criminal charges levied in terms of conspiracy, but collusion was all over the place. That's why it's so ironic that he's talking no collusion, delusion, and all of that, because it was there. They're doing it in plain sight again with Rudy Giuliani trying to go over to the Ukraine, now canceled his trip to dig up dirt on Joe Biden and his son Hunter. Look, investigations can go on if they're legally, and that's fine, but to try to actually solicit help from a foreign country, adversary or not, there's something wrong there. And to say in plain sight and loudly, there's no problem because you were sort of exonerated by the Mueller report is crazy. Read the report. There's not really exoneration there, even in the first section. The first section actually is more daunting to me because it talks about how Russia was, as Mueller says on page 2, interfering with the election in sweeping and systematic ways. It doesn't exonerate anybody. It also says the Trump organization, the Trump campaign, tried to benefit as much as they could. It did kind of say they were too bumbling to actually coordinate with it, so we were too stupid to know we might have been breaking the law. It's not really an excuse when it comes to the magnitude of this whole issue and the fact that it could happen again when people start talking about it and the media. Goodness, have we not learned anything? They're addicted to polls. Everything is about the matchup. Everything is about who's leading in the Democratic polls, all of that. They love to anoint the candidate du jour from Beto to Buttigieg to whoever. And that's all well and good, except the fact that there may be no point in having polls if they rig the darn thing again. Because they stole it last time. What makes you think they're not going to steal it again? Trump has more incentive, not just the power grab, but the fact that he wants to barricade himself inside the White House to avoid indictment the minute he leaves office. So I don't know why people are not a little more hair and fire. I don't tend to be a very hyperbolic person. I tend to look at things. I don't believe in deep state conspiracies on either side as a rule. But there's something going on here that is not kosher, and the fact that the Republicans are sycophants and have fallen in line because they're so afraid they'd rather kowtow to a would-be dictator than worry about a primary. I mean, what the heck? At some point, you got to stand up for your country and what we stand for as a nation above everything else. Another term, we're hanging by a thread now with all the obstruction that the Trump folks, including his anointed toady AG, Bill Barr, are trying to do. So if we're not worried about this, there's something wrong with us. We've got to do it collectively. You've got to see what's going on, and I think it starts with reading the report and looking at that first section. I'm still working on that first section, and I'm already, my hair is on fire, because it's so out crazy, and it's not outlandish to think that this, they're going to try to steal that election again. So eyes on the prize, and everybody's got to vote this time, but we'll just see how it all plays out. Maybe we need to go back and you know, return to home and go back. Maybe England will take us back. They left the EU. Maybe they'll want us back. I don't know. Well, we got a royal baby with dual citizenship. Last week when Meghan Markle, the Duchess of Sussex, and hubby Prince Harry delivered their baby boy a couple of days late, but they did. And it's Archie Harrison Mountbatten Windsor. So everything's Archie. I mean, maybe they're...
Everything's Archie. Archie's here. Betty's here. Veronica too. Reggie's here. Hey, Jughead, where are you? We want to dance and we want to sing. Have some fun and go adventuring. Friends are here, but it ain't complete. We ain't the Archies without the Jughead beat. Whoa, Archie's here. Betty's here. Veronica too. Reggie's here. And here comes Jughead and Hot Dog too. So everything's Archie. Come on, let's go.
Tootsie roll, folding little white shoes. time without a babysitter.
I'm Amy Beth Arkwish, Simon and Garfunkel for Johnny Fever's Hangover, and Dondi are your regulars each. Thank you so much for tagging along for the ride, guys. Rock and Roll Baby from the Stylistics. Hello, Nixie on Twitter. And everything's Archie, the theme of the great cartoon show. Indeed, Archie's back on the scene. I wonder if that name now will become popular again. It seems like the list of baby names, once again this year, Liam and Emma have topped the list. Both have kind of a British twinge, so you never know. So what's your take? Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505 for those listening live on May 14th. And we have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box open, too, folks chiming in about the royal baby. Boy, Megan spent a ton of money during her pregnancy, so says Donna. Well, yeah, it's royal money, or it's the English people's money they bestow upon the royals. Have at it, as they say. The Charles HRH fake, I know this is a fake page from Prince Charles, but says the royal transition in making America Great Britain again. Prince Harry marries an American. They have a baby, Archie. Archie gets dual citizenship. They make him a king. Have him elected as U.S. president. USA is once again ruled by an English king. Well, the only problem with that one, a few things. First of all, he's like sixth or seventh in line to the throne, so it'll be hard for him to become king. But besides that, by the time he's old enough to really become an elected president of the United States, our democracy will be in complete tatters the way we're headed. A second term of Donald Trump, I think it's over. I hate to say it, but I just do. That's not being hyperbolic. That's just watching what's going on. Cautionary tale, kids. Cautionary tale. Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, found in the chat box. So that's why we're spending most of the time in music today, because it kind of makes you feel better, doesn't it? Also, you know what else makes you feel better? Dipping into the creative well. doing something yourself for your own creativity. I have to say my own walk in the creative woods. It's always a an exciting, exhilarating, and daunting task. So there are some days that things are going well, other days it's just completely frustrating. It's been a mixed bag this week as I try to get back into another project that I backburnered because of that deadline I was working on, which I was so thrilled that I made it. I'm not so sure that the piece itself that I finished lives up to what I needed it to do, but it is what it is, as I say, and perhaps there's some life in there that might become a longer work that might work as well. But back into the work I'm doing now, this project in its nascency and all the characters coming together, and every day is a new revelation, and things just come to you, which I find fascinating and exhilarating, and that's why I keep going. So if you find that, you know you're on the right track. Keep going and doing what you're doing. Inspiration to Action Challenge works for some folks to get them reconnected to that creative source within them. And today it's Sarah in St. Paul, Minnesota, who says, I've been doing this for a while since I've retired. I've re-embraced creativity. You've helped me with the challenge. I'm not sure exactly where it will go, to be honest, but I'm working it, intrigued by poetry and painting and just living a more creative life, getting in touch with, as you would say, the inner artist in me that I never knew was there. I guess she's been sleeping for a long time. All right, Sarah, hey, keep going, because it sounds like you're on a good, positive track, and that's what it's about. I'm so much more connected when I work with clients and students in particular with the process of creativity. And if you fall in love with the process, I always say this, it sounds trite, but it's true, you can't really fail. Because if you love what you're doing and it's that creative exploration and you're into the journey of it, even if the final product is not what you expected it to be, and it never is, sometimes it exceeds expectations, sometimes not so much, you're still going to be a winner in the process because you like the journey. If you don't like the journey, then get off. And that's what I always say. If you feel like you're forcing yourself to do something, maybe find something else to do. So that's kind of the litmus test for me. I'm more about the process than the final product. But on the other side, as a professional writer in me, yeah, the final product does got to amount to something. So there's that too. But that's after you fall in love with the process. Does it make sense? I hope it does. Hey, if the Inspiration to Action Challenge has worked for you, by all means, tell me about it, because I'd love to tell everybody else about it. Shout it from the rooftops on your behalf, because you deserve it. And you're also encouraging other folks to dive into that creative well and play with us and find their own inner voice and inner artist. So either way, if you would like to get an acknowledgement, or if you need a little push in the right direction, a little creative kick in the keister, as we like to say, reach out via the website. It's amybetharkawy, ARKAWY.com, easy access via the Twitter feed, and we will certainly do that. Hey, while you're at the website, by all means, peruse my stories, the Eliza Gordon mystery, some other goodies are up for grabs. You can also chime in with your guest suggestions, your big story, and Forgotten 45 requests. And yes, we have links to the podcast, one-stop shopping, at the website, amybetharkawy.com. So speaking of the creative well and the fountain of youth, one of the artists that's been in for so many years, dipping in and out of that well, Ricky Lee Jones is back on the scene. She's got a new album out called Kicks. It's another album of covers. She's done a few of these, and they asked her at Billboard magazine why she does so many cover albums, and she says, frankly, because I want to perform and I want to put some work out there, and I'm not that prolific when it comes to songwriting. So she was honest. And this time she's dipping into a lot of stuff from the 70s, and one of the songs she picked was from the group America. She kind of was giving them a half-assed compliment by saying they were never on the A-list. They sounded like Neil Young, and frankly, some of their songs weren't very good, but I like this one. And it's funny that she picked, I love America, as you know, she picked one of the songs that's not really my favorite, but it was a hit, and it's a good song. It's called Lonely People. Ricky Lee Jones having her take on the America classic. I mean, the dark, we should give a listen.
Said I'm pulling down the shades for the long ride. Never knew that I could feel so black and blue. And I've been holding on to something now for some time. And all I know is it's a feeling fit for two. Cause when the sunlight laid its head down on this dark night, and I was talking to myself in the rear view. Yeah, I've got questions, but I know everything is alright. And all I have to do is just remember you. Stand up tall for what I believe.
On the Amy Beth Arkwee Show and from the Everything Old is New Again file, Ricky Lee Jones and America's Standard Lonely People. Not fond of the band, she says, but she liked that song. Interesting. I mean, new album, Kicks, indeed. Hey, some sorry news this week. We lost, things happen in threes, it seems like it, right? We lost Peggy Lipton, the iconic actress from two shows from very distinct eras, Mod Squad in the late 60s, early 70s, I guess that was the run, or yeah, something like that, right? And later in the 90s in Twin Peaks, passed away only 72, not really very old, but had struggled with cancer, so she's got some sweet relief and left behind some intriguing work indeed. And Tim Conway, the consummate comedian, actor, all-around hilarious guy, passed away earlier today, 85 years old. He had suffered for a while with dementia, so he's gotten some relief as well. But, boy, his humor is reverberating throughout the universe. And I tried to find some audio. You just can't capture it on audio. You really need the visual, right? And Carol Burnett's, and I mean, he made Harvey Korman and Carol Burnett just crack up so many times. Great stuff indeed. It lives on. So great to have that work in the world, and we'll always have it to cherish. And Doris Day passed away yesterday, 97 years old. What a run she had. What a life. I mean, she started out as a band singer with Les Brown Band and others, made it into movies and musicals at first, and, of course, the romantic comedies, which I know they're kind of dated, but I still love them, the ones with Rock Hudson and Cary Grant and others. I mean, James Garner. I mean, just really good. You know, they're of a period. Of course they're dated, but they're just something about them. They're just so clever and classy, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. She had a TV show, and she did some more serious mysteries, too, thrillers like Midnight Lace with Rex Harrison and Julie and some other movies. So versatile indeed. She retired some years back, just had enough of Hollywood after a while, and became an activist for AIDS. Her dear friend Rock Hudson, of course, suffered from that, and animal activism particularly was her love. Passed away 97. I kept saying for years, when is the Academy going to give her that honorary Oscar? What are they waiting for? So they didn't do it during her lifetime. Maybe they'll do it posthumously. But Doris Day hated the fact that she was at one point considered America's sweetheart. She eschewed that label, thought it was too boring, but she was so much more than that, so much depth to her. Indeed, she was. And again, as we said with Tim Conway and Peggy Lipton, the work, the music, the movies, the TV shows, they all live on. They're in the universe for us to cherish forever. Remembering Doris Day, I'm Amy Beth Arkley Show.
Everybody loves a lover. I'm a lover. Everybody loves me. Anyhow, that's how I feel. Wow, I feel just like a Pollyanna. I should worry, not for nothing. Everybody loves me. Yes, they do. No one else but me. Gee, I feel just about 10 feet tall. Having a ball. Guess you might call me Pollyanna. Everybody loves a lover.
When the first check came, it was $400. And I had it in my hand, and I just gave it to my mother. I just handed it to her. I never even looked to see what it was. But I gave it to her. And she looked at me, and she said, "Oh." And I said, "Oh?" And she said, "Well, I'm happy for you and all that." But she said, "You know, you were making that money with Les Brown." And I said to her, "Oh, is that all? Yeah, oh, that's fine." You know, and I said, "Mother, I would work for nothing, but don't tell me."
"What you want?"
"Just a hand."
"Oh."
Nominations, I thought it was really, really lovely to, you know, to walk on the stage and receive that. Everybody does. But if I don't get one, it's okay, too. Because I really, really appreciate it. I do. I appreciate what I get. But it isn't the world to me. It isn't, you know, to get things, because I've just had so much fun.
Ma'am, you done did a terrible thing to me.
Oh?
You made me glad I ain't in Texas.
Have I?
Mm-hmm. Every time I look at you, I say to myself, we got all kinds of natural resources back home, but we ain't got nothing like that.
Pillow talk, pillow talk. Another night of hearing myself talk, 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 talk. Wonder how it would be to have someone to pillow talk with me. I wonder how. I wonder who. Pillow talk, pillow talk. Another night of being alone with a pillow talk. When it's all said and done, two heads together can be better than one. That's what they say. They always say. All I do is talk to my pillow. Talk to my pillow. Talk to my pillow. All I do is talk to my pillow. Talk about the boy I'm gonna marry someday, somehow, somewhere, sometime. Pillow talk, pillow talk. Another night I get my fill of pillow talk. My pillow and I both agree. Right. Oh, there must be a pillow talking boy for me.
There must be a boy.
On the Amy Beth Arkwi Show, there must be. Everybody loved Doris Day, indeed. Pillow Talk, and Everybody Loves a Lover, interview snippet two, celebrating. She hated the idea of being a Pollyanna. She was so much more than that and left behind, oh, so much great work. Sashay around the social media horn we go one more time. On Twitter, at AB Writes, some folks chiming in about Doris Day. What do we have here? We do. Good Luck says, can we now have a season of Doris Day films, please? Jeanette says, I'm like you, Amy. They're so great. Even as a feminist, I might be a little embarrassed to admit it, but there's something about those Doris Day films that get me every time. Yeah, I love them. I'm unabashed. I'm not embarrassed by it. I'm unabashed. They're really good. And I'm sure places like TCM will start resurrecting those movies. They play them pretty frequently, but they'll probably do some more, if you know what I mean. Shay on Peggy Lipton says, what a style icon she was. Oh, too long, too soon to lose her, too young. R.I.P. Peggy. Yeah, she was something. That's for sure. And Tim Conway, anybody? We have a couple of folks chiming in about Tim Conway, I believe. Ryan says Tim Conway was a true OG of comedy. If you want to see a master at his craft, go watch the reruns of the Carol Burnett Show and those skits he did with Harvey Korman. The cast could never hold it together, and often the entire act would go off the rails. Too much fun. R.I.P. Tim Conway. Indeed. As I said, you got to watch it. The physical comedy is amazing. YouTube, that's what the good thing about, one of the great things about the Internet, we have access at our fingertips to so much material. Get out there and celebrate some of the good stuff in humanity. Indeed, we can. And, of course, Peggy Lipton, we lost way too soon. We just don't know how much time we have here, so embrace your dreams. Don't let them slide, and there is not, you know, one small step each day, I say, and there's no such thing as a small step, really. So just embrace what you want to do and go for it. And thanks again, speaking of going for their dreams, Bobby Dugan, the lead singer guitarist for the Zicks. They're embracing their dream. Great sound they have. Working on that rough and tumble music scene, ever-changing as it is, they're embracing it whole hog, and I applaud them indeed. Thank them for stopping by. We'll post their links to the Facebook page, and if we can, the Instagram page as well, when we do so with the podcast. All the shows are archived as such. Follow the Amy Beth Arquette Show wherever you get your podcasts. So if you miss any, want to hear them again, please do, from Mixcloud to Stitcher, iTunes to NetNow, and select editions to be on a listen, Arts Radio Network and PopNet. All roads lead back to our website, amybetharquette.com. Thank you, TCS crew, Trudy and Roar in the booth, NL headquarters, for keeping us going and moving. And thank you. Always appreciate playing with you in real time. In the meantime, drive safe, play nice, dream big, and come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arquette Show, Coming Home with Leon Bridges. Take care. I love y'all.
Take.